title of the message today is, We Belong in a Mental Institution. And you might be thinking, well, Nate, I know you do, but what do you mean, we belong in a mental institution? I think Titus chapter 2 will explain what I mean by this, a mental institution. The main idea that I want to talk about today, the main thing that I want us to come away with, or that I think this teaches, is that we have to choose with our minds to say no to sin. And I think Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 11, will explain. We'll go ahead and read the passage in just a minute. But do you want to be godly? I hope all of you want to be godly. That's, if you don't want to be godly, I don't know why we're here. But I think we want to be godly. But do you struggle with a sin? Maybe there's a particular habit. I always explode when this happens. I always respond this way to this person. I always think this thought. I always do these things. And it's just, you know, maybe you get discouraged. That's the way I am. Or it's just, I don't know how to get past it, or you overlook it. Or it's just, you know, yeah, I need to work on that. Something better. I need to do better on that. Maybe there's a circumstance you just can't respond correctly to. I always blow up when this guy says this, or he's around, or whatever it is. The Bible tells us here how we can overcome these things. We'll begin in verse 11. It says, For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We'll stop right there. This passage begins, this is to Titus. He's a pastor, I believe, in the island of Crete. And Paul is writing to him, and he says, You need to speak sound doctrine. I need you to teach these people. God wants you to teach these people. Teach the young men these things. Teach the older people. Teach the older women to teach the younger women. He's giving them all these things, and he explains they need to have sound speech. Which cannot be condemned. He says, you need to have sound speech, which cannot be condemned. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters. He's giving them all these things. And then he explains how you're going to be able to do that. Because if you look at this whole list, and you can look at it sometime, you'd be discreet, chaste keepers at home, talking about the young women. There's a long list of things, and you know, it's like, yeah, I'm trying to do some of these things, but I really don't know how to fulfill these things perfectly. We're humans. We can't do it. And so Paul continues on in verse 11, where we just read, says, For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. There's two points today. The first one is grace hath appeared. He says, The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. So grace, I looked up the word, and it has the idea of favor, grace, benefits, blessing. So God's grace is already given. We already have God's grace, is what it says. I work at school, at an ambassador down in North Carolina, and I work the housekeeping department, which is, I'm a supervisor, so it's kind of a subdivision of the maintenance facilities. So I have keys to just about every building on campus, just about every door on campus. There's a couple doors I don't have keys to, but so it makes me kind of a popular guy sometimes. If somebody wants to get in somewhere, hey, can you let me in here? You know, it's like, well, I can't just let anybody in anywhere. They have to get permission. I tell them, you need to talk to my boss. His name's Bob Christensen. We call him Mr. C. I say, you need to text Mr. C, and if he says you can have permission to go in there, then I'll let you in there. They have to get permission for it. During our missions conference, there's a group of students. They work on the decorations. They do a lot of things for the banquet and a lot of the decorating. And there's a building that we have a lot of our materials in. We call it the Horn Building. And Mr. C is talking with the leader of that group, and I was there too. And he's saying, you know, you can go in the Horn Building whenever you want. You just have to let one of us know. And he told us if he needs in there, you can let him in anytime he wants in there. So he already had permission. So if somebody came up to me and said, hey, Nate, you know, can you let me into the president's office or something like that, you know, I could say, no, I can't let you in there. I'm sorry, you know. But if Christian Garcia, who was the man in charge of the mission's decorations, if he wanted to get into the Horn Building, he really didn't have to ask him for permission. He already had the permission. All he needed to do was just, hey, I need to get in there. And so I would open the door and let him in. Kind of like that. We have grace. We don't have to go asking for permission for this grace. It's already here. God has given us this grace. Grace hath appeared. But not only has it appeared, it's freely given, he says. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. How do I know it's freely given? Well, it's the nature of what grace is. Romans chapter 3, verse 24 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans 4:4 says, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. He's saying, if you're working, it's not grace. Romans 11, verse 6 says, and if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. And that can be very confusing. But what he is saying there, if it's grace, then it cannot be works. If it's works, it cannot be grace because of the completely opposite. So it's nothing I can earn. Grace is freely given. So he says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. This favor, this blessing, God has given us this grace, this enablement. It's already appeared, and it's freely given. So this grace gives us power. This power is accessed by faith, hath appeared to all men. Says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Romans 5:2 says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of God. Grace gives us power. It's an enablement. It's strength. And for faith, yes. For it says here, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. We get grace, why? Because we have faith. And I think this verse is talking about salvation, first and foremost. How do we have this grace? How do we get God's enablement, God's blessing on our lives? Well, first we have to be saved, understanding that we're sinners, that we can't go to heaven, but that Jesus died for our sins to pay for our sin, our wages. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we have access to this grace by faith, but also it's not just saving faith. Because the same faith, it says, as ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. We've received him by faith, so we're to live by faith. It says, the just shall live by faith. So not is it just salvation, because this faith is the same faith for salvation as it is to live the Christian life. And so we have access to this grace by faith, as Romans 5:2 says, access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So not only has grace appeared, we talked about how it's appeared, it's freely given, and we access it by faith, but grace has a purpose. There's a reason why God gives us this grace. Why do you need grace? Why do you need this blessing from God? It says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The word deny has the idea to refuse to pay attention to disregard, ignore, disdain. Ungodliness. Well, let me give you an illustration. Talking about deny, I was traveling, I traveled for Ambassador for a summer, 2015. We went just about every state in the West. And what you do when you travel is you sing and you sit in a car. That's about all you do. And you eat, and you eat, and you eat. And so we kind of all made a pact before we went, you know, there's five of us, four singers and a piano player, and we're going to run. We're going to exercise. We're not going to gain all this weight because we're not exercising when you're sitting in the car, when you're eating, and it's just, and you eat. They want to give you a lot of food, and you're just like, oh, I can't take all this food. But so we decided we're going to run, and so we were running here and there, and well, some of us were. Some of us kind of died out, and like, yeah, we're not about this running thing. But I remember we were in Montana, and we just had pizza, I remember, And I was just really, I was feeling sick of myself. It's like, I need to get out and run. But not just, I'm not going to run a mile. No, I'm not going to run 2 miles or 3 miles. I decided I just got to go. I'm going to run a 10K. That's what I'm going to do. And so in Montana, everything's wide open. And so nobody else wants to go running. I borrowed a friend's phone because he had an app on it that I could use. And so to track how far I was going. So I went out and I started running. And I was running. And I was running. And I made a turn to the right, and I was on this hill, and I was running, and I was still on this hill, and I was running, and I was running, and it was just, it never ended. And I was running, and I thought I was gonna die. I got to the top of it, and I was kept on looking at the phone, and I'm almost halfway there, and I got over the hill a little bit, and I got halfway, so I stopped, and I called up one of my friends, and I was just telling him where I was at, just in case I didn't make it. And anyhow, so I rested for a second. That was 3.1 miles. Then I got up, and I was running again. I was thinking this is pretty good because now I'm on the downhill side of the hill, but it really didn't help much. I was still tired, and I was running, and I got this horrible pain in the side, and I wasn't sure, should I stop? Should I keep going? Is this serious, or am I just being lazy? I don't know. So I determined in my mind, I'm going to put one foot in front of the other. It doesn't matter how I feel. I'm just going to keep on going. As long as I can put one foot in front of the other, I'll be okay. And I kept on running and running, and after a while, that pain went away. It was a cramp, and I was talking with one of my other friends, and he ran a lot, and he said, yeah, just run through it, and it won't bother you too much. But I had to make a choice to deny that feeling, that pain in my side. And we'll see how that applies in just a second. But it says, deny has ungodliness. What is ungodliness? It's a lack of respect, reverence for deity. A display in sacrilegious words or deeds, ungodliness, impiety is what the word means. A lack of respect, a reverence for deity. Do you ever take God's name in vain? A lot of times we don't think about it, but we'll make jokes or something and we'll use God's word or God's name a lot, or we don't think about it. Do you respect the words of God? That's the Bible. Do we make jokes about scripture or things like that? I'm guilty of it. Do you talk lightly of God and His Word? Do you joke about sin? Maybe music, or maybe you joke about lying or murdering somebody or pride or something like that. The Bible says fools make a mock at sin. Ungodliness is a lack of respect or reverence for God. But he says denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, 1 John 2:15 through 17 explains to us that all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Fleshly desires is the lust of the flesh, like pornography, gluttony, could be laziness, selfishness, whatever it is that your flesh tells you to do. Covetousness, you want more. What new thing can I buy? What new coat or hat or whatever it is? Or maybe I wish I had a truck like that, or I wish I had this or that. It's not wrong to try and improve your things, but if we have just desires, covetousness for more things, God says that is of the world. There's pride. The pride of life is self-centered, self-exalting. You're all about yourself. And I don't think we think that way, but it's easy to think that way without realizing it. We're to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, it says. Going back to that illustration, I had to deny that feeling in my side. I was running. I had to put it out of mind. What the word deny means here. Let me go back to that page, and the definition for deny is to refuse to pay attention to. Refuse to pay attention to. I had to refuse to pay attention to my side, that pain. And if I was going to do this 10K, I was going to have to put it out of mind and put one foot in front of the other and just keep on going. In fact, in the end, I ran a 10K. I was really surprised, but I finished, and I didn't die. But we have to do the same thing with sin. He says, deny, choose not to pay attention to ungodliness and worldly lusts. Why do we have to choose to deny them? It's because they're there. and we can't remove them, really. As long as we're here on this earth, it's going to be there. The most godly person has a flesh and has to deal with ungodliness and has to deal with worldly lusts. Doesn't matter who you are, the most humble person that you can think of, the most godly person, they have to do the same thing. They still have to deal with sin. And just like I had to ignore that side, we have to ignore ungodliness and worldly lust. It's there. We have to choose with our minds to put it aside and not to think about it, not to give attention to it. So we have to choose with our mind to live godly. It's a choice of our thinking. We don't have the willpower, but we can choose what we're going to think about. He says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Soberly means prudent or self-controlled. Righteously means factual or to do right, to do judgment. It's in accordance with standards for acceptable or anticipated behavior, being upright or just. He says to live soberly, righteously, and godly. Godly is to be like God would be. So we need to choose to deny these things. They're going to be there. It's going to want to pop in your mind, and it's going to be a struggle. But we have to choose to not pay attention to those things and rather think on these things. It says, live soberly, self-controlled. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27, know ye not, they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. And what he's saying is, I'm not running like, where am I supposed to be going? You know, he's just running uncertainly, or he's beating the air. It's like, where's this guy? You know, with his eyes closed, you know, you're trying to find your enemy. He's not doing that. He knows where he's going. He's got a focus, and he keeps under his body. It's like, I know my flesh has this tendency because it's the flesh. We all have it. We can't fool ourselves in thinking, well, that doesn't appeal to me. Sin appeals to all of us, and we have to choose to deny it. And so he doesn't beat the air foolishly. He knows what he's doing. He's got to keep under his body, bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Righteously, that's doing right things, doing right things. If God says, thou shalt do this, we do that. And to be godly, that's to be as God would be. Romans 7, 24-25 says, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And this is Paul, he's saying, when I want to do good things, my flesh, I do the wrong things. And I don't want to do those things. And it's just a struggle. And he says, who's going to deliver me from this, from my flesh? He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And get this, he says, so then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So how do we do this? How do we apply these things? How do I choose to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts? How do I choose to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world? I believe we all have a desire to serve God. I believe you want to do these things. How are we going to do it? It can be discouraging. I try and do it, but I fail. Well, we have to remember, first of all, that God gives us this grace. It's God's power that does it. It's appeared. It's freely given. And has power. And what is it doing? It says here, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. I want to emphasize that word, teaching us. That's a process. It's not like a one-time deal. You've got it. You're going to learn it right off the bat. Doesn't mean, you know, you ask God to forgive you and you're going to be perfect. It's a process. He says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. So we have to choose with our minds to learn this response. So when a certain circumstance comes up, that guy comes up and he's got this horrible attitude and it really rubs off on you and you get frustrated and you want to respond a certain way, we have to remember denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. We have to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And that's one battle. That's one. And then another thing comes up. And we may fail, but we have to get back up. But as we learn this process, it's teaching us, this grace that God gives us is teaching us to learn this response. That when this happens, I'm going to deny it and ignore it. It's there. Oh, it's there. You feel like blowing up. It's there. But you deny it and you decide, I'm going to live righteously, soberly, and godly. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're transformed by the renewing of our minds. And you can read Romans chapter 7, 8, 9. It really emphasizes that the battle is in the mind. Honestly, we can't do it. We can't win the battle. So what's the use, you think, maybe? But God says you've got to want to. If your mind is, to be carnally minded is sin, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I believe that's what it says in Romans chapter 8. We're going to lose the battle if we're carnally minded. Carnally minded, we all know what that means, I think. We're just thinking, it doesn't necessarily have to be bad things. I was just reading in Colossians about this. Carnally minded could just mean the mundane earthly things. I gotta go to work. I've gotta, go to the grocery store. I've gotta do this or that. Just thinking about earthly things. But if we have our minds there, we're gonna fail. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. God says we gotta get our minds off of this world and off of ungodly things. So God's grace has appeared. God's given us grace. It's here. It's freely given. All we have to do is accept it. This grace has a purpose. This grace has enabled us to be holy, to deny this ungodliness and worldly lusts, that sin that keeps on coming up and coming up. God says we can deny that, and we can live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Our responsibility, what's our responsibility? Because God's given us the grace. He's going to take care of this process, but there's a responsibility for each one of us. It's by a trained response of the mind, we need to say no to sin and choose to live soberly, righteously, and godly according to God's word. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this passage that helps us know how to deal with sin. And Lord, we know that you don't respect persons, but you do honor your word. And we pray now that you would use this in each life and that people would receive it as from you. We thank you for it. We thank you for this grace you've given us. Help us to live in it daily. We pray these things in your name. Amen.